Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. I know, because I got one last week. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside the Coppola Studios for episode 262 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She's Julie Dobbs. We are here together.
Yay.
We're 5 years old. We're not celebrating till next week. Next week, we're going to celebrate.
We're 5 years old.
We're 5 years old.
So you know how like you multiply for dog years and cat years? What are podcast years? I mean, because 5 years old in podcasts.
That's a lot.
We're drinking age, right?
Yes. Well, I was going to say 3 years, but we need a little bit more.
Ooh, we're pre-drinkers. We're using our fake IDs.
We're still using our fake IDs. Well, we could do 4. So 4 times 5 would be 20. We're close. Let's say 1 real year equals 4 podcast years.
Okay.
So we're 20.
We're 20.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. We have a good fake ID.
Yeah. And if you haven't noticed, on socials and everything, we're really celebrating this all month long.
Yeah.
With some really cool stuff going on. And then we're going to have like our real celebration, a big party here coming up in a couple of shows.
Next week.
That's how I don't know what day it is ever.
Okay, you're next week. Back from spring break.
Yes.
You went on the tour of Texas.
I did. My mom turned 70.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's like a big number.
It is a big number.
We went, we tossed around all kinds of different things to do for her 70th birthday, but turns out like none of those things were very easy to pull off with the whole family, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's schedules and everything. So she just kind of came up with a few things that she wanted to do that weren't too hard to schedule and pull off and everything else. So we started in Austin and we got to celebrate with my brother and his family there because they only had like a day essentially to kind of spend with us. So we did a celebration with them at his house, which was lovely. And then got in the car the next day, drove to San Antonio. Kelly flew and met us because he had some work going on. So he got 2 days at home alone. Lucky bastard.
I'm kidless right now, too.
You are a lucky bastard.
I am a lucky bastard.
You're a lucky bastard. And then we had one night in San Antonio. And I had not been to San Antonio in a while to except for like a pass through kind of thing. It's fun. Like we stayed in a really pretty historic hotel right there across from the Alamo. Called the Manger Hotel, which I would highly recommend to anybody traveling to San Antonio. It's really gorgeous. It's cool. Like the decor is beautiful. It looks like your really fashionable great grandmother's decor.
Oh, okay.
Like to try to explain it. I'm not a person that is good at
old school style,
like old school antique-y. Like,
oh my gosh, that gives me hives.
But
I bet it's pretty.
Yeah, it's like a classified historic marker type hotel. It's been there a long time. And so we stayed right there and you could walk out straight to the Alamo and then right around there, you walk down to the Riverwalk and then right across from the Alamo, there's all kinds of fun stuff. Like there's, a mirror maze and escape rooms for the kids. There's the Ripley's Believe It or Not stuff. There's bunch of shops, restaurants, and then you walk down to the Riverwalk, and of course there's all kinds of stuff like the Rainforest Cafe. Like there's a lot of kid friendly type stuff, but then of course all the adult friendly stuff too. The Alamo has really cool, you know, because so many field trips and stuff go there. I used to go on field trips there as a kid from Austin. You know, we'd just do like a 45-hour long whatever bus ride, but they have little stations where they teach
45 you. Hours
45 minutes or an hour.
Oh,
now it's like an hour and a half because traffic.
Traffic.
I swear it used to be 45 minutes from Austin to San Antonio when I was younger. But anyway, like it's very educational. We did a little tour of of the Alamo. And just, anyways, it was really cool. I hadn't been to the Alamo, thought about the Alamo, learned about the Alamo or anything like that.
Well, you need to remember
in a long time. I did make a remember the Alamo joke, like, because someone was like, well, I don't remember something the Alamo. And I was like, did you remember it though?
Yes.
And I got a couple laughs. Yes. So anyway, cool for my kids to see all that and realize that it's just right here in our backyard, essentially, here in Texas. And so we had a great time in San Antonio. My kids love a hotel. They don't get out much. If we go somewhere, we're staying in a house a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so to be in a hotel, they just like bounce off the walls. They go insane. They think they're in like Disney World, mm-hmm. Which they've never been to and probably never will go to.
Samesies.
Because I just saw what it costs these days to go to Disney.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
So San Antonio was really fun. And then we went the next day to Fredericksburg just for the afternoon, and then went on to our ranch in Llano and just had like a whole Thursday through Sunday there without any plans, really. Ended up getting to meet up with my best friend who was at her lake house not far, and her and family and kids came over for our last night at the ranch. But just great. It was really great. Good to spend time with my parents, celebrate with my mom, not have like a super planned week, outside of a few little things, not have to travel, spend a whole bunch of money, fly, you know?
Yeah.
So I felt like it was a good, like, kind of happy medium spring break. And
good.
It was good.
Yeah.
How about you?
So you've
been on a couple places.
Well, we talked about skiing last time, which is done for me. And then we went to spring training. So I wasn't going there to work in my reporter's role, but I was going to meet with sponsors. And so, like, I'm a big sponsor girl now. It's just different. I mean, this transition is going to take some getting used to.
Yeah,
for me. But it's, you know,
shaking hands, kissing babies.
I mean, I was like, who am I interviewing? What player am I interviewing? What am I emceeing? They're like, nothing. No, nothing. You're just here. And I'm like, oh, okay. But it was great. I met the coolest chick. Well, first of all, I saw Erica, our friend, Erica Kuzmond. I don't remember if I say her name right. Anyway, from Choctaw Casino Resort. And she was
on our show. Yeah.
Yeah. She's awesome. Super fun. And then this total badass, her name is Ashley, and she works for Lockheed Martin. And like, I totally fangirled over her. Like, really? she was beautiful. You know how I get around really pretty people?
You do.
Like, I just stare and then I like effusively tell her how pretty she is. And
you did?
I mean, because I feel like if you think someone's pretty, like if you have something nice to say to someone, like don't keep it to yourself.
That's right. But effusively, now that makes me wonder.
I think maybe I might have made her a little feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I did ask for her number so I could reach out to her. She does. I didn't ask for it from her. I asked
Lockheed
for it
Martin,
from
that could be a good little partnership.
I know, but I want to have her on anyway. She's really cool. Like, she's so pretty. They're super, like, successful.
Accounting and stuff. What are they? Money stuff? Numbers? What
Lockheed Martin?
Yeah,
they're like, make,
that's your friend where she works,
F-35s and bombs and shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
What am I thinking of?
Accountants.
There's a big accounting that sounds sort of like that. No. Anyway, okay. Doesn't matter.
Anyway, so it was great.
They make bombs?
Well, I mean, okay, I take that back. Missiles?
You big time, like, I know what it's all about. No, well, you said they make bombs.
I know that my friend Lisa, who's been on the show, she works on the in aeronautics, like the F-35 program.
I thought she was an accountant this whole time.
You thought Lisa was an accountant?
Yes.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I thought that was what Lockheed Martin was.
So hilarious. no, it's not. It's like they're a defense contractor. So like they work with our government to.
Wow.
Yeah.
They weren't fired?
Big shit. What?
They weren't fired?
Not yet. Well, they're not government employees. They're contractors.
They're government. They help the government make money.
They help the government.
They have money.
Well, they provide, stuff that the military needs.
So good at describing.
Yeah. So anyway.
Military government things.
Yes. So we go to Arizona, me and the fam, stay at a lovely resort. It's a JW Marriott Desert Ridge. It was super cool. Water slides, whole park. It was fucking
JW
freezing.
JW Marriotts are cool.
They are. There are some that are better than there are some that are better than others. This one was really good. Water park, all that kind of stuff. But it was freezing. My kids didn't care. But it was freezing.
In Arizona?
It was cold.
That's wrong.
Yeah, like 55 high the first day we got there.
Global warming, I'll tell you.
Global, yes.
I'm hot button topic girl today.
I mean... the title of the show, Accounting and Global Warming. So anyway, I go to the dinner the first night and, you know, mingle and mix. And it was super fun.
Did you get
fun.
Some good food?
Food was great. And then Saturday, we all, you know, we went to the resort and I had to go buy a bathing suit at Old Navy, and they didn't have much to choose from.
This was probably an interesting experience.
It really was. And I didn't try it on. I was in a hurry. I was like, but the kids really wanted me to go down the water slide, me and Mike. And so we decided we would do it. So I put this bathing suit on and Mike goes, wow, that's really a mom bathing suit. You know, because I, whatever.
You wear two pieces normally.
Yeah, I'm still. Bikinis. And it was, this was a bikini too, but it was very mommy.
A mom-kini?
Like, I'm pretty sure it like came up to, it was above my belly button, almost to my boobs. It was really awkward. It felt like a, from like the 60s or something. Okay. Which I think those are coming back in, actually.
It was like a halter top with like a,
It wasn't a halter. It was just a, anyway.
But like the high-waisted bottoms are back.
They are. They're not for me. Mm-hmm. They're not for me. But whatever. So we go down the water slides and I did two and I was done.
Cool.
And I
You're
screamed.
Cool,
and
cool moms do water slides.
Yeah. We were cool. It was fun. Then dinner that night, Mike and I went to a dinner off-site and we left the kids at the hotel by themselves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like in the room.
I mean, is it too late to get in trouble for that?
You can't.
Oh, no. They went down to they had an arcade there where they serve food, and they went by themselves and did the arcade and ate dinner by themselves.
That's great.
It was really kind of.
Because awesome. The hotel situation is so tough with kids. Mm-hmm. You know, if you put your kids to bed at an early time.
Yeah.
Like if they're younger or whatever, then you're just stuck in the room.
Yeah.
Like I've gone into a bathroom and hung out and drank wine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I know a lot of parents that do that. So when you get to that sweet spot where to y'all be able are, to,
we can bail on them.
Yeah. Yeah,
which sounds awesome.
So many people there that could help if they have a problem.
Yes. Well, and they have phones.
Go to the concierge.
They have phones and, you know. Yes. But I did learn this. We don't spend a lot of time in hotels, like the four of us as a family.
Yeah.
My max is two nights. Mm-hmm. Like in a regular room with two double beds. We didn't even have a double bed. We had a king bed and then a pullout couch. Mm. So I just there, I couldn't have done more than just everybody's on top of each other. There's no room. So that's what I learned about myself. Mm-hmm. As I get older, I just learn more and more things that I can't tolerate or do or am willing to, you know, attempt.
I feel like that's valid.
Yeah.
I'm
so it's like now we're in the last 2 weeks, I've learned like I'm done with skiing and two nights is the max in a hotel room with my entire family.
Unless you get two rooms.
If you get a suite or, you know, something that has a little more space. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, everyone's passing of gas was noticed. Everyone. I mean, it just is like, you know. I mean, kids are gross and, you know.
You know what I always think about?
And they have to go to, everybody has to go to the bathroom and there's only one place to go to the bathroom. I don't know. It's just, it's one.
There's so much there.
Two nights. There's so much there. Two nights is all I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tap, tap out.
I always think about like father-daughter campouts are a big thing right now with the little girls and their dads. And I just think about like how much those dads probably fart in those bunk beds with the little girls.
So gross.
Like it's a bunch of dads in a cabin. Like how much farting is happening and how gross is that?
It's a lot.
Kelly told me one time he moved him and Anna because someone was snoring so badly in the cabin. And I'm like, now you know, but like that's the rare time that like dads sleep in a room together and they see, like they probably hear what they sound like. Other people fart and snore.
Oh my God.
Next to them, and they're like, that's disgusting. It's like, well.
Yes. Proving my point.
But I can't imagine having other, like, my kids don't quite do that yet.
Your kids don't fart?
Not like that.
Okay. What's like that?
Like, well, Anna doesn't. I mean, if she does, it's like barely. Ryder's just starting to, like, get into the thing where, like, he'll fart and be like, this is so funny and cool or whatever. And, like, it's a loud one is cool, you know? But, like, Anna doesn't really.
Really?
No.
I guess Hattie doesn't really.
And they don't, like, let out big juicy farts in their sleep like men.
Yeah. That's a thing. I know. Yeah.
Your kids do?
Kids fart.
In their sleep?
I don't know. I'm not sleeping with them.
Well, you did in the hotel.
True.
That's what I was wondering. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's just like there's just
a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of smells. Like, it's just there's a lot of shit in the bathroom. Not actual shit, but, you know, just, I mean,
stuff everywhere.
Stuff everywhere.
Patty's probably into all the like face stuff. Oh, makeup, the skincare.
Yeah.
Skincare.
So anyway, it was great. So we had a quick little trip, and then thankfully had my dude Robbie keep the dogs. He's the best. And my dogs are doing so good. Like, where I can ring the doorbell and they don't launch themselves onto the front. I've been working with them using the tools that Robbie gave me. So shout out to Robbie at Estill Dog Psychology, who did such a great job answering all the questions. Have we posted those yet?
No, it's coming Wednesday. This week.
Yeah, lots of questions for Robbie, and he slays it. Anyway, got back to Dallas. Hattie and Mike leave the airport. I stay at the airport with Henry because he is getting on a flight by himself to Florida to meet a friend. And
has he flown alone?
He has, but he was like 9. Yeah. And so this was my first time doing this with him. And I started crying when he got on the plane. And he's like, Mom. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't help it. Like, okay.
Do they still do? Was it Southwest?
No, American.
Do they do a nice thing where they help take care of them?
Oh, yeah. That you have to. Like, they have to be, like, I couldn't leave the airport until his plane was in the air. But they just put like a plastic thing on him. It gives all the information and stuff like that. And then they board early so they can meet the flight attendants. And then they escort him out and make sure that, you know, check the ID of the person who's picking them up, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did great. Now I downloaded like a flight tracker app to keep track of the flight.
Because you have massive flight anxiety.
And Mike even asked me, he was like, are you worried about Henry because he's leaving or because he's flying? And I was like, no, because he's leaving. Like, I'm not pushing my flying anxiety on anyone else, especially in my family. So everyone else is fine. Like, Mike gets a little, Mike is not a huge fan of flying, but.
Yeah, well, these days, I don't know that anybody is.
Nah, the kids are fine. So he's in Florida. Seriously, you are a hot button topic.
A lot of big plane crashes lately. Conspiracy theories.
Pushing the envelope. And then Hattie went to Graham. So we're kidless. Yeah.
What have you been doing with
that? We had dinner out with friends last night for St. Patrick's Day. We were partying so hard. Drinking.
Yeah, you were green and like
Jaeger shots and drank beer. No, we went to a restaurant and then came back to our house and had a glass of wine and went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to cook dinner tonight. Making salmon from Fish Fix, friends at Fish Fix. Perfect, because there's just two of us. So, yeah, I'm just getting a lot of work done, and I don't know. It's
doing
weird. I'll be bored in 2 days, but.
You're not going to rearrange, like, paint cans? Or
No.
With a project?
I am going to pressure wash the back porch today. It's going to be awesome.
God, you're so fucking crazy.
It's going to be awesome.
You're wild.
So wild.
You are wild.
Yeah.
Wild SB 25.
Wild SB 25. Look out. Okay. That is the latest from the moms. Let's get to some sports scores brought to us by our friends at World Springs and Tylock George Eye Care.
Yes. Speaking of spring break, some people still enjoying their spring break and even beyond spring break. If you're a mom, you need to know how to relax and where to go to relax without having to hop on a plane or a train or a car. And to get far away, there's a lot that you can do right here in DFW. And one of our favorite places is World Springs in the Colony. At World Springs, wellness is as it was meant to be. You can discover more than 40 mineral hot springs inspired by restorative waters from across the globe. And I think a lot of people don't really know maybe what is going on at World Springs, what they have to offer until you go see it. So just trust us. You have to make the trip out there and go enjoy World Springs to really fully understand how amazing this is. We do have a code MOMGAME10. You can receive $10 off your soak reservation. Over 98% of people felt better after a soak at World Springs. We've been there. I've been there twice now. I can definitely vouch for that I felt better after a soak at World Springs. You know, we just do a lot these days. We do a lot for our families, for our kids and everything else. And it's time to think about you. You can also bring your husband. You can bring your friends. You can make it a girls' getaway, a date night, whatever makes sense for you in your world. They are open at night as well. And they do serve drinks and lunch. Feeling better is easy. Just add water by booking your next soak at World Springs. And they also have a spa there, massages, facials, the whole works. Once again, that code is MOMGAME10 to receive $10 off your soak reservation. And a big thank you to World Springs for your support of the Mom Game.
Yes, and thank you to Tylock George Eye Care. Custom lens replacement from Tylock George is one of many life-changing options from the trusted ophthalmology experts at Tylock George. They offer 24 months interest-free finance, interest-free financing with approved credit. I had the lens replacement. Julie had the LASIK because she's younger and her eyes are more vibrant than mine.
Vibrant eyes over here.
You can schedule a free consultation at Tylock.com. We have a special code, which is Tylock.com/TMG. Mention the Mom Game. When you call them to see what your options are to make your life much, much better without having to wear contacts or readers. So custom lens replacement is what I had. Highly recommend the trusted ophthalmology experts at Tylock George to get your vision sitch squared away. Okay. Stars latest.
Yeah. The Fill stars are, just continuing to play really well. They did have a couple of losses this past week, but they're in such a good spot right now in the standings. They're second in the Western Conference. And this is really just the best part of the season to start tuning in if maybe you haven't been tuning in. And of course, with everything going on the Mavericks side of things right now, the Stars are really the team to start locking into. If you want to go along for the ride, have a really fun playoff run, maybe bring your family out to a game. They're so much fun to watch. Hockey, as you know, one of my favorite sports and one of my favorite sports to see live. But they're second in the West behind Winnipeg. And then they just recently made the trade for Mikko Rantanen, and he has had 2 points. 4 points through his first 4 games as a member of the team, which is huge. So he's fitting right in. And I knew he was an amazing player and he had had a wonderful career to this point, but I didn't realize, I guess, like fitting in with our roster, he's got the highest point total. Like his point total on the season is the best of anyone on our team.
Oh, cool.
He's tied for the most goals on our team right now and what he's done this season up to this point, tied with Jason Robertson. And also just looking through the scoring leaders on the Stars roster right now, it's really interesting to see who these guys are that are really like helping this thing go and helping them escalate to the perch that they are at in the Western Conference. They're not the names that you might be familiar with. They're guys that Jim Nils brought over via trade. They're guys like Mikko Rantanen, of course, in this most recent trade, and then Jason Robertson, who's somebody that the Stars have had an eye on for a long time, finally emerging. And they're players that he has brought over in trades, Matt Duchene, Granlin, people that it's just cool to see like the combination of trades, of drafts, of veterans all coming together. And that is only because of the way the general manager has been working.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, like, and too, I think, isn't veteran buy-in a big deal too? Like Jamie,
veteran buy-in.
What's Tyler's status?
Tyler's still out, but they're hoping there's a chance that he could get back in.
By the playoffs?
Maybe the playoffs. Yeah. Okay. He's still out with the injury. But yeah, there's veteran buy-in from Jamie. But really, like, the Stars have made so many, like, little tweaks. Like, they've brought over some players, like Duchene, like I said, like Granlin. Their fourth line is players that are brand new, basically, to this team. And they're so competitive trying to earn playing time because there's so many other players that are playing so well that you've got to earn that spot on the roster right now. And so the fourth line's playing really well. But to just see the way it's all come together, I guess, in the form of veterans combining with players that have come over in trade, combining with guys that they've drafted and kind of brought up on their
own and developed,
it's cool to see. It's exactly what you want to see from what the general manager and the front office are supposed to do. It's all coming together.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So it's really cool. Wyatt Johnston, that's the name that I couldn't remember for some reason. But Wyatt Johnston, so he's like a draft pick guy that's super young, but now he's second or third in the Stars roster in scoring. So it's just coming together really nicely for them. And I don't know, like we talked about a little bit, just the juxtaposition with the Mavericks general manager right now with Jim Nill. Like Jim Nill just looks really great. And
yeah,
he's been here a long time, you know? And so, and he's had his misses. It's not like he hasn't made any mistakes, but to see what's happening right now with this roster, in my opinion, is not something that he's this trade with Rantanen is a huge bolster, a huge boost, but this has been a long process, like a long time coming. And as a general manager, this is what you want. And so it just speaks to, I think, his vision that he had for this team for a long time and how to manage guys like Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin, who aren't your top guys anymore, who aren't your leading scorers, who are still, you know, the fan favorites and who are still making a pretty good salary and all of that. They're still a big part of the team, but you've got to, they're going to start fading as they get older.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I just like, I kind of have checked out a little bit and I'm checking back in and I'm looking at things and I'm like, okay, this is great. As somebody like from the peripheral who's now looking at the roster, it's like, okay, this is all coming together exactly how he probably saw it coming together.
Yeah. And shout out to Pete DeBoer too for being able to manage all those things.
Exactly.
Playing time and ice time and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And who
them.
Knows? It could be like a behind the scenes and all that, like messy, but I don't think it is.
Yeah.
And it seems like everybody kind of knows their role and knows what they're supposed to be doing. And it's all combining for team success, which is what you want. And we'll see. Hopefully they have a good, you know, kind of rest of the regular season and see what they can do in the playoffs.
Yeah, get on that, Stars.
It'll be really fun in Dallas if they do.
Oh, yeah. Playoff hockey is unreal. Okay, March Madness is happening.
Yes.
What's your take on this?
I
Are you into it? It's fun to it's a fun. It's an event. Like I filled out a bracket.
Mizzou's in there.
My kids will
Did you pick us?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'd do it pretty quickly.
Okay.
Tech's in there, 3 seed.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, the SEC had like 14 teams.
Right.
Which is insane. But then they're like, it's a record. And I'm like, well, yeah, because there's 800 teams in that conference. Mm-hmm. But still a lot. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited just because it's fun.
It is fun
to watch. It's always, there's always something on, you know, TV. Like, I just love watching sports on TV. So I can avoid
and
real stuff.
The way they figured it out with kind of everything leading up to this month and this bracket, when people maybe haven't been paying attention all season long.
Oh yeah.
College basketball.
Yeah. I haven't watched a ton
They figured it out.
Yeah,
right.
Like definitely haven't watched a ton of college basketball.
Same, but
I mean,
like, this is
Tech,
a fun way to get people involved.
Yeah.
To where it doesn't matter if you've been watching or not. You just make your picks and then you follow and you want to win. And,
yes.
I love it. And I think that probably Ryder's going to get really locked in, which means that we all get locked in.
Yeah.
The kid loves a bracket.
Yeah. I know. They're fun.
Yeah.
It does make things fun.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to, as a family, though, need to like put some stakes on there.
Yeah.
Just because I like to gamble. So
do y'all, we'll as a family, out. Do you put money on it or
no? Like, that's what I mean. We need to figure something out.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
As a family to do something.
Chores, back massages,
embarrassing stuff. Yeah. We'll figure something out.
Okay.
Okay. And then one other sports note I wanted to pass along. Did you see Joey Gallo is going to try to pitch?
I saw he said like peace out.
Peace out
outfield. And I was like, what does that mean?
I know. I thought, oh, is he going to play first now? And then there was a follow up that was like, to be clear, I'm going to be pitching.
That's crazy.
So I texted him yesterday. I'm like, you know, I'm excited for you. I hope you kill it. You know, and he was like, thanks, Em. And, you know, I just think he's so over hitting, like he's, you know, and this is not from a conversation I've had with him. I'm just, this is as someone who knows him, and you know, I feel like I know him pretty well as far as the baseball player is concerned. And I think he could not get out of his own head when he was in the box, and he has a cannon for an arm. Now, can he hone that into being a good pitcher? Is he going to have more in his bag besides a fastball? Because mid-90s fastballs are going to get crushed. But can he, you know, I don't know what all he's been doing behind the scenes to, you know, to try to go this route, but you're talking about like a two-time all-star now going from being a position player to a pitcher, and he's going to have to start in the minor leagues. Like, I mean, it's not like somebody's going to give him a shot on their big league roster. Right. So, I mean, I think this is just,
I didn't realize the hitting had been like,
it's not
kind of fizzled. Okay.
Honey, it's never been good. I mean,
when he was with us, it was good.
Well, I mean, he either struck out or he hit a homer. Like, it was very
all or nothing.
It was, yeah. And so, and I think Joey is such a mental guy. He's so, you know, it was just a lot. And I think the chatter was a lot. The fact that he got so much attention coming up. I mean, it was him and Bryce Harper were like, you know, played together in Vegas, grew up together. And I think that kind of played into some things. And, you know, hopefully this will be able to, I mean, at this point, like, he's probably like, what have I got to lose? Like, I might as well give it a shot and see if I can do this. And I'm excited for him. I hope it works out for him.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, I wonder how many other players have done that.
There's Rick Ankiel, but Rick Ankiel, I feel like, was a pitcher first, and then he became an outfielder, if I'm not mistaken. There's been a handful. I don't know that any of them done it at a consistently high level. But like, yeah, to be a two-time All-Star in the outfield and then go, you know, completely just, you know, change course is crazy, but it'll be interesting to watch,
right?
To see how he does.
Yeah, because you got to hit if you're playing the outfield. You can't be a designated outfielder.
No.
You can be a designated hitter.
Yes, but you can't be a designated outfielder.
You can't be
outfielder.
A D.O.
But maybe that's something that baseball should consider.
A doe.
All right, let's get into some What's on Yo Feed, brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media.
Yes, we're so grateful to them for everything that they're helping us with, and they can help you too if you have a small business and you need a little bit more time to actually run that business. I think nowadays you kind of have to have your foot in the social media game if you want to hang, if you want to compete, if you want people to find you. And that is where Audrey Dolan's Media comes into play. They can help you with all kinds of things, including influencer management, brand management, monetization management, collaboration management, influencer campaigns. So say you're a business that wants to get the word out, reach out to them because they work with a whole bunch of influencers that can help spread the word. Content creation and photography, social media management, and website design. I am highly anticipating the new Mom Game website that should be done any day now by our friends over at Audrey Dolan's Media. And don't worry, because when that website is done, we're going to be blasting it out there and shouting it from the rooftops. Because it is, like we said, we're about 20 years old now in podcast years, 5 years old in real years, and it's time that we have a little bit of a refresh. So we're super grateful to our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media for help with all of those things.
Yay, thank you.
You're excited for this part.
Okay, so we get feedback from our viewers. A lot of it's positive. Some of it's negative. It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
So we got a Facebook message the other day, and it said, let me pull it up so I can find it exactly.
It was in response to a clip that was posted with a lot of cuss words. Yeah.
Oh, and they didn't get beeped out.
Right.
Okay. Which we're going to take some steps to take the cussing out on the social media.
Yeah, because you never know if someone's scrolling their phone next to kids or whatever, and you don't want it to be like.
Yeah, for sure. So someone responded and said, I'm disappointed in the language you use on here. It just flows out of your mouth like nothing. Didn't know you had a potty mouth like that. I know it's none of my business. And that's it. So I responded. Do you want to guess what I responded?
F off.
No, not at all. And that's fine. First of all, when someone I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, it tells me they're disappointed in me. It doesn't really go over well.
Right.
Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, there's very few people that I care if they're disappointed in me. And you, lady, on Facebook are not one of them. There are probably, I can list on two hands, like, the number of people that if they said they were disappointed in me, it would affect me. But, like, someone, like, a grown adult telling me as a grown adult that they're disappointed in me doesn't really go over very well with me, because I just don't care.
I didn't even know if you saw that.
And the fact that, like, you feel the need to tell, like, you're disappointed, like, what am I, your fucking kid? You're disappointed in me? Sorry, I am who I am. This is who I am. I'm sorry you're disappointed. Like, okay. So I did respond, and I just responded, LOL, send. And it made me feel real good.
Good.
Yeah. So that's great. And I get it. I get it. Cussing is not for everyone. It's part of who I am, which whatever. I don't cuss on television. I don't cuss in situations where I don't feel like it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Here, this is our place and we can say and do things how we would like to say and do them. I spoke at a Chamber of Commerce, Lubbock Chamber of Commerce event last week.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. And I cussed the entire time. And I warned, there was no kids in the audience. It was all grown people. And I was like, this is how I've expressed myself for a very long time. And you know, if your ears get offended by cuss words, then you might want to, you know.
Yeah, because in like small town Lubbock, maybe.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it.
You got to give the warning.
We talked about Lubbock being the buckle of the Bible Belt and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I just thought it was funny because, you know, she felt the need. And that's fine. You have your right to express your opinion. But it's not going to change shit for me.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I guess, like I said, I'm past the point of people I really don't know.
No, yeah.
Being disappointed.
Well,
in me.
Yeah.
And to back up this idea, mm-hmm. researchers from the Netherlands, UK, USA, and Hong Kong found that people who curse often are actually more truthful. Their study, published in Social Psychological and Personality Science, sounds like a legit publication, suggests that while profanity is linked to lower, suggests that profanity is linked to lower levels of deception. While swearing is often seen as inappropriate, especially when it involves vulgarity, blasphemy, or explicit content, it's also a raw form of emotional expression, whether it's anger, frustration, or even humor.
So, I like that. I would agree with
science. It's science.
With a lot of that, especially the raw form of emotional expression.
Like, right.
It's raw. It's real. If you're cussing, you're not usually faking anything.
No.
And it's authentic.
Yeah.
And so that's what we are AF. Here on our show.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what I always said about Luca, too. Like, him bitching at refs is authentic. Like, that's him, and we love him for that. We love you for being you, and this is authentic. And if you don't love it, then
listen, different big deal. For
it doesn't
different
mean
folks.
That we have to change anything that we do. And he was, it's hard for him to change what he's doing.
I love how this came back to Luca.
It did. Like, it just reminded me of that. Like, you don't always love what someone's doing all the time. Now, he's on a big stage, and everyone has an opinion and everything else, but it's him being him. It's you being you. And I think that's fine. And that's great. And yeah, people always have their opinions. The more feedback, the more opinions, the more people pay attention.
Well, and that's fine. Like, and I appreciate that. Like, if you want to voice it, and if you want to think that you want to talk about my potty mouth, like, great, that's fine. And if I'm not for you, then I'm not for you. Or if this podcast isn't for you, then it's not for you. I just have reached that point in my life where like, the whole disappointed, just like, I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, LOL to that. And, you know, it's part of it.
Yeah.
It's part of our forum. It's part of, we're going to get good and we're going to get bad. We're going to get, well, you know.
And that's kind of been our thing from the beginning. And I think that's why people like listening, is because it's pretty real.
Well, and I think too,
we need more realness in the world.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're just a lot, and I don't mean this in a bad way. I'm so much more rough than you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about like tough, but you're soft. You're soft, way softer than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I think us put together, it's like there's soft, sweet Julie. Mm-hmm. And then there's Emily, the F-bomb dropping co-host of the Mom Game. You know what I mean? I think it's the juxtaposition of the two of us where you're just a little, you're not a little, you're more gentle.
Yeah.
I'm not gentle.
Yeah.
I'm rough.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a fun, interesting dynamic. And I think it represents a wide range of people, right?
Yeah. Oh,
and a wide
for
range
sure.
of personalities and dealing with things in totally different ways and opinions. I've done a lot of radio where they're like, you guys can't agree on everything. Like, you need to have differing opinions, because that's like a program director thing to say, right? It's like, if you're always agreeing, and this was some of my feedback sometimes, was like, if you're always agreeing with everybody, like, it's not good radio. Like, they want differing
edgy
people and like differing, and I don't know, we kind of organically have that, I guess. It's like different opinions, different personalities, and I think it's representative of a lot of people and a lot of moms and a lot of ways that we deal with things.
For sure.
But at the same time, we're both like very similar in a lot of ways too, when it comes to like being laid back and being not stressing about dumb stuff and parenting and all that. And not being Susie homemakers and, you know, all that. But I think it's interesting. So yeah, I mean, I love hearing good, bad, whatever kind of opinions, reviews, critiques. I love when people are listening and just know that we're not changing.
Absolutely. Right. Exactly. Like, I mean, sometimes it will open your eyes to stuff. Like if the, like you said, I don't spend a ton of time on social media, but like if there was a ton of curse words in a social media clip like that, that is something it did bring that to my attention. Like, I didn't know
there was. And I think because some of it's automated, and so I think that it was like a clip that was pulled that was like
beep, 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 beep. And so I think that is something we need to clean up. I mean, thanks to that woman for, you know, telling me she was disappointed and whatever. LOL. So okay, I saw LOL. You put in here,
who I just else? Had a couple quick things.
Okay.
From what's on your feed, or should we move on down to news desk? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I don't think we should do, I think we should save the IQ test.
Okay.
Because we have Karen Morris from the Rangers Foundation coming. We can put her in the news desk. Okay. And then we'll save it. Save, unless you want to get to that. You put something else in here about Harvard.
Oh, it's okay. It's all not a big deal. Let's we can intro the news desk. I have the poppy one, I think, is quite interesting.
Okay, what is that?
Did you hear about the poppy drink selling to PepsiCo?
Okay, no, but let's do that in the news desk.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Brought to us by our friends at Qualis and One Day Doors. So Qualis Roofing and Construction is your trusted local roofing contractor offering the highest quality roofing and construction services. It's not just roofs that they do. It's roof replacement. Actually, it is roofs. It's all roofs, but it's all different kinds of roof maintenance. Roofing services, roof replacement and installation, roof repair, storm restoration services. Anything basically that needs to happen with your roof, Qualis can help. They are locally owned with more than 7 decades of combined industry experience. They're here to serve you with first-rate roofing and construction services. See, it's not just roofing. They offer construction services as well around Dallas-Fort Worth and the surrounding areas. They do not take risks, and you should not either. Call Qualis today for a free, no-obligation inspection. They will perform a thorough analysis on the state of your roof and let you know what needs to happen next. And with all these high winds that we've been experiencing here in North Texas, it is probably a good idea to get that roof inspected.
You don't want your roof to blow off.
Yes. 817.
The big bad wolf.
No, exactly. 817-500-9008 for service in the DFW area. Mention the Mom Game when you call, or you can fill out their online web form to schedule your free estimate. You can get a TMG tumbler or a t-shirt if you get a roof inspection. No obligation there. And then you are qualified for a Rangers suite night if you get a new roof with Qualis. So check them out at qualisgc.com. That's QualisGC.com. We appreciate the folks over at Qualis. Like I said, give them a call. Let them take a look at your roof before shit gets bad.
Yes, and a shout out to our friends as well at One Day Doors and Closets, who just replaced multiple doors in my house. I'd love to have them help with a closet too, because I've seen some pictures and they do amazing things with closets. But you can replace your interior doors in just one day. You don't have to deal with a bunch of construction. It's a pretty seamless process. They have really cool 3D measuring technology where they can make a digital blueprint of your existing frames. Then they custom cut those doors to fit in those frames. They do the work in their truck outside on your curb. They bring those doors in, they put them up, they pop them in, and it's like you've had a whole makeover in your home. They say it's kind of like, and I can vouch to this, getting a new piece of art in your home when you get new doors. And it's awesome. You don't realize how much of a difference these things can make. They're beautiful. And the price is right. They typically save customers 30 to 50% compared to big box stores or handymen. And we do have a promo code, which is huge. Promo code alert, onedaytexas.com/promo30 for buy one, get one free on those doors. You can give them a call, 940-969-4790. Say that the Mom Game sent you, please. Or you can just go online, that site once again, onedaytexas.com/promo30. And a huge thank you to our friends at One Day Doors and Closets.
Yeah. Okay. So what's this poppy story?
So this was like all over my feed and I just thought it was interesting. Do you know the poppy drink?
I've heard of it.
Okay. So it's like it's the big bright colored can.
Okay.
And it says poppy, really big, P-O-P-P-I. Does that ring a bell?
I feel like, did Claire Smith do some stuff with poppy?
Probably.
I feel like she did.
Because they're huge with influencers.
Okay.
They're huge on TikTok. I watched American Idol.
Ooh, isn't this the one where they yell like Poppy?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Like where soda's not Target. A bad word anymore.
Yeah. Like, okay. There's Target like yeah. Poppy sweatpants at Target. It's this whole new like revolution of advertising, I guess, that they got in on kind of on the forefront. And I was watching American Idol for the first time with my kids on Sunday, which was really fun, by the way, a fun show to watch with your kids. And all three of the judges, including Carrie Underwood, had puppy cans in front of them. So that's how big they've gotten. And somehow, well, I guess because this big news came down that PepsiCo was buying Poppy just this week, this news came down. So it's been on my feed a lot, probably because I selected entrepreneur on my Instagram thing. Well, like you can select like media personality or public figure or whatever. And I didn't really know what to put. This was a while ago. And I put entrepreneur, which I thought would be fun. So now I get like entrepreneur stuff. So I've been getting a lot of stuff about Poppy. And so it's a cool story. It's like this couple, they were based out of Austin, and the mom, they had a kid, they were pregnant, like 9 months pregnant with a second kid, and she wanted to find a soda that didn't have bad stuff in it that tasted good. And she found out that apple cider vinegar was really good for your gut, and just started like tweaking around with ingredients, apple cider vinegar and like fresh fruit and all this stuff, making it at her home. Her and her husband, I guess, found something that they thought tasted really good, tried it out with a few people, took it to a farmer's market in Dallas. Did I say they were from Dallas?
No, they said Austin.
Okay, they moved to Austin. Sorry, I misspoke. So they started in Dallas. They're Dallas people.
Got it.
They took it to the Dallas Farmers Market, and a lot of people there were buying it. It was doing really well. I think Whole Foods decided to purchase the drink, and so they're like, this is great. How can we like really make it big? Took it to Shark Tank, and then one of the investors on Shark Tank decided to buy in for like $400,000 for 25% of the company, Poppy. And then their marketing campaign that they went on was this whole new, like I just mentioned, like they're doing all, going all in on influencers, going all in on TikTok stuff, going all in on Poppy, like the songs, like this thing that you just said that you saw. And it just took off. I think that I've never tried it. It must taste good or this wouldn't be happening. I saw something today from Olivia Munn, the famous actress who said that she tried it and she was like, this tastes so good. I want to be an early investor in it. So she reached out before any of this went big and was like, hey, I love this drink. Can I be an investor? And invested in the company. So then they had the Shark Tank investment, $400,000 for 25% of it. And then, boom, it just started blowing up. And it was just recently this week purchased by PepsiCo. So Pepsi is now buying Poppy, the homegrown beverage, which all these health conscious people, everybody's trying to find a soda that tastes good, for $1.95 billion.
Holy smokes.
So a story like that just always catches my attention, right?
Yeah. So they started it in 2016, and 9 years later, $1.95, almost $2 billion.
Fruit juices, apple cider, apple cider vinegar. Yeah, this mom, and she initially called it Mother Beverage, which is funny because the Shark Tank guy went through this whole rebrand with them, which really worked, but he changed it from Mother to Poppy.
Yeah.
Like, why Poppy? You know, why, what's wrong with Mother? But it popped off, if you will, and it's just crazy. And so shout out to them. I think she'd be a really cool person to talk to.
No shit.
You know, to hear about her story, her idea. And when you kind of just go all in on something and decide that you want to make it work, and it did. And I think there's also just such a huge market for these like health conscious drinks. I saw another.
Yeah. It says young Americans are increasingly turning to healthier sodas and energy drinks as part of a broader shift to fitness and lifestyle products.
Yep.
So rival Coca-Cola is expanding its Simply brand to launch a prebiotic soda called Simply Pop.
I'm like, why do we all need prebiotic? What's wrong with all of our stomachs?
All things. Gut health.
Right? Gut health.
Big gut health.
Ben Stiller is about to come out with a healthy soda. I also saw. I put that in there. Yeah. So,
but is it weird that Coca-Cola is going Simply Pop and Pepsi now has Poppy? Like,
kind of, yeah. It's like, oh, this is working really well. How close can we get without, like,
I think
breaking
that's
some
bush.
Sort of trademarking?
That's Bush League.
It is.
Coca-Cola, that's Bush League. I mean, unless you want to sponsor the Mom Game, and then we can talk about
Simply Pop.
Yeah, why
we
not?
We love it.
Simply Pop. No, Poppy needs to be a spot. We're influencers.
We're very influential.
I want to try Poppy.
Right, we could have it right here. Who needs American Idol?
Yeah, we could drink Poppy out of a wine glass. Could mix it. Be like a fun, you know.
Let's pop off with Poppy.
Let's pop off.
Has anyone tried that? Has anyone said that?
Hey, Poppy.
Pop it off.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to try some. So
yeah,
where
are you? Too.
Like regular stores? Like just grocery stores?
Yeah, grocery stores. Okay. It's like everywhere. And I heard her say, like, I think it costs them 70 to 80 cents or something to make a can, and they're charging $3 or so per can times bajillion of how many they sell, right?
I mean, 1.95 billion.
Yeah.
I just want 1 billion. I don't right? know. I need the 9.5. I just want $1 billion.
I know. It's really cool.
It is cool. Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. What are their names? The Ellsworth?
Yeah. Allison Ellsworth is her name. And she's super cute.
Okay. Is her husband, or is he getting completely like left out of this? Allison and Stephen Ellsworth.
Yeah.
Let's give Stephen some love too.
Stephen needs a little love. I think it's an interesting thing for a husband probably to be like, okay, my wife has a crazy idea. Like, do I go all in with her?
No. God bless
me. Because us wives have crazy ideas.
I know.
God bless Mike.
God bless Mike.
And your crazy ideas.
I mean, we did Posh Play. We had the Ice Santa Cam. Like, it's been, God bless him. He's exhausted by me.
I doubt like, that.
No, he definitely is. And it's okay.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, but I need to start scaling things back, not ramping them up.
Yeah.
Unless I find a really good recipe for soda.
An energy drink.
Yeah.
I mean, you get our podcast on Shark Tank. Have y'all ever heard of a podcast? There's really none out there.
Yeah. Yes. It's really hard to do. It's hard to do it for 5 years, though. God damn it.
It is.
Okay. It's time, Julie.
It is time. Yes. We have a very special guest just in time for baseball season.
And we are thrilled to be joined by a close friend of mine and the executive director. That's right. Executive director of the Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation, Karen Morris. We're going to talk some momming. We're going to talk some Rangers Foundation stuff. But first of all, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm a longtime viewer, so love to be here.
Thank you. Okay. Let's talk first of all about just kind of your background. You've been in this role for a very long time. How did you get this position, and, you know, just talk about your time with the Rangers?
So I actually started at Fox 4 in Dallas in 2001, but I had worked with the Brewers in college, and I loved working in baseball. It was my passion. But I graduated in May, and there's not a lot of jobs in Major League Baseball in the middle of spring. So took a step and took a job here. I had family and friends that had grown up in Texas and loved it. But I pitched the Rangers for about 2 years to hire me. I convinced them that this Irish Catholic girl from Wisconsin should run their Spanish language marketing programs. That was my major, and I realized I didn't have that role. So I created a title. I think I drove them crazy enough that they finally hired me. And it was Greg McElroy back in the day. He said, mm-hmm. What's your title? And I made it up, and he said, okay, that sounds good. And so I started off in our marketing department and did a lot of our Spanish language translation and campaigns and ads. We had Juan Gonzalez and Pudge and Alex. We had all these Hispanic stars, but we weren't really doing anything advertising-wise in the community. So quickly, what I was doing was a lot of community work, and realized I didn't like to sell, but I really liked to be in the community. And we started to sort of transition into kind of everybody was taking on something. Everyone was taking on a fundraising event. We were just really short-staffed, and so I started doing the fundraising events for the foundation. And if you remember, back in 2008, things went a little bit crazy with our finances at the Rangers organization.
Yeah.
And so I had a very wise mentor that said, hey, if you're just a Spanish language marketing person, you're going to be on the cutting block like right away. So find something and differentiate your position. So I took on more of the foundation role. And then when Nolan came in, he said, we don't have an executive director of the foundation. And he said, why don't you give it a shot? So he kind of gave me my shot. And it was definitely kind of a learning process. I was not a nonprofit person. But realized that that was where my heart was and really what I felt like I could make the biggest impact for the organization. And it's kind of all gone from there. I still do speak Spanish with, like, in the community and with the players, but it's not my primary role. But I still get to work in the community and use that same kind of passion for giving back to the community, just in a different framework.
It's really cool how important these foundations have become to the teams here in DFW, for each of the teams. I had a little swim through the Dallas Stars Foundation, kind of for the same reason. It was like, I want to work in sports. And then you learn about what all the teams are doing in the community and how passionate some of these players are about giving back, and you want to get involved. And I learned a lot, and it was so fun. But a lot of people don't know what all the foundation does. So how would you describe what all you guys do? Because it is really important work.
It is. You know, when we're sort of bad at telling our story, but really, honestly, we try to be where our community needs us. So ultimately, our main focus is youth baseball and softball and giving kids access to that, be that through supporting programs like the Miracle League or Youth Academy or providing grants to other organizations that need support for baseball and softball. We also have a lot of programs in schools tied back to health and wellness and leadership, things that we can actually like own and say as a professional sports team that we can talk about. We fund a lot of programs tied to military and first responders, but then we also just try to be where our community needs us. So if there's a disaster, like right now we're on the phone with our partners in Oklahoma trying to figure out how we can help Stillwater and really try to figure out where those avenues are that we can make an impact that makes sense for the organization, but also makes sense from an impact. What we've found, because we have such a wide territory, that sometimes our, you know, $10,000 grant to a little itty bitty town in West Texas makes just as much impact as a $100,000 grant to a foundation here in Dallas. And we love that. We love to be able to make that impact. But each of us, each of the sports foundations in this market, we talk a lot and we each kind of have different avenues in which we look to support. But I think universally, we're all looking to, you know, help support our fans and the communities in which our fans reside. So if it's through school-based programs like our leadership programs, or if it's through our youth academy that impacts like 10,000 kids annually, it's really finding that niche and where we can most benefit the community and be authentic in how we do it.
And I've said this for a while, and you know how much I admire what you've been able to build and do in your time with the Rangers, but I feel like the Rangers Foundation sets the standard across Major League Baseball. And I think we saw it with the Youth Academy, the things that you were able to do during the All-Star game when it was here last year. Can you just kind of speak to, like you said, starting out in the role that you did, but wanting to make a bigger impact and grow the footprint of what the foundation is able to do?
Yeah, so when I started in the role in 2008, we were sort of all things to all people. We were sort of the United Way, which is a great entity. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's hard when you're a smaller foundation to fundraise when you were all things. So you kind of sat down and really honed in on, okay, what are the things that we're good at? So that is that baseball and softball, health and wellness, education, and military and first responders, and then tried to figure out where we could make an impact that made the most sense. Our youth academy was really, you know, when the new ownership group took over, they looked at us and said, like, well, we have all these great programs, but we don't own anything. There's nothing that we can actually, you know, get involved with kids on a day-to-day basis. It's all through schools or sort of this existential relationship.
Yeah.
And so working with them, they really poured in the resources to allow for us to build the youth academy. And they poured in the resources to allow us to do what we did during the All-Star Games. And having that daily operation where, you know, every day of the week we can go down and show a donor or show a player or show the community, hey, we're working with these kids. You know, just, you know, yesterday our spring training session for the academy started, and we had 200 kids out there that, you know, would otherwise not have an opportunity to get baseball and softball instruction. And now it's, you know, the third brother or sister in a row. They've all been coming for so long that we know the whole family, and now maybe brother or sister's coaching with us. And so seeing that ability to give back daily, I think, is really what kind of transcended the foundation from just giving grants or just having a program to really making an impact and living and being part of that West Dallas community.
Yeah.
What is the Youth Academy all
about?
Because you two know all about it, but maybe some others don't.
So I have four boys, but I always say this is my fifth. In 2015, I should backtrack this. In 2010, when Ray Davis and the ownership group bought the team, they wanted to build an academy almost immediately. They saw what Major League Baseball had built in Compton. They have an academy in Houston. They have one in Cincinnati that predated us. And really the idea is that you build the academy in a neighborhood that needs access to baseball and softball, and you create those avenues for those kids to play, to learn the game, to find the fun things that happen during the game. But also it's really to create Major League citizens. So the key is also the off-the-field programming that we provide. It took a little bit for us to find the funding mechanisms to build it. If you know the Rangers, we're going to build it. We're going to build it right. So in 15, we got the approval from Major League Baseball to build it. And it's a $15 million facility in West Dallas. It's six baseball fields, now all turf, thank goodness, and an indoor facility that has basically Major League size infield and then classrooms. So we provide programming year round at no cost to the kids. So they can use that as their place to play league ball. So if kids can't afford, you know, travel ball or don't have a recreational league in their neighborhood, they can come play there. But we also provide that baseball and softball instruction that, you know, maybe a family can't swing, you know, $100 hitting lessons or, you know, pitching lessons. And so the schools really utilize that as, hey, go to this and get your training. Since we opened, we have 155-plus kids that went on to play college baseball.
Wow.
And it's really so cool. We have a kid right now who's pitching at Texas as a freshman on, like, the number one team.
Oh, my gosh. So
it's so fun to watch him pitch. And he's—
What's his name?
Jason Flores.
Okay.
So he literally— he traveled to Seattle as part of our All-Star. We have a team that travels as part of the All-Star game and was playing in a tournament. And all of a sudden, like over the summer, we started seeing he could pitch faster. He was sitting kind of like high 80s, low 90s and had some movement on it. And we're like, what happened? This kid like kind of grew into his own body. And all of a sudden, the scouts just came pouring out. And now he's playing at Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
So cool.
Like, yeah. Literally changed that child's life. And he wouldn't be doing any of this if it weren't for that, which is so cool to think about.
Yeah, I think, he'll probably hate me for saying this, but we talk all the time as a foundation board about what we're most proud of. And if you ever get Ray Davis and set him aside and ask him or Neil Liebman about what they're most proud of, they will always speak about that fact that these kids' lives have changed because of the work that we've done at the Youth Academy. And that's, I mean, our staff down there is so tremendous. The passion they have for it and the heart. And these kids are like they're other kids. It's really cool mm-hmm. to see.
Now, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what have you learned about, you know, working with professional athletes and just seeing how involved some of them might want to be when it comes to giving back to the community, whether it's kids like that or other things that their causes that they're passionate about? How involved are these guys, and are there any maybe that stand out to you over the years?
You know, we have been so lucky dating back to, you know, JD and now with CY. We've had the leadership in the baseball side that really pushes the idea that you need to be a good citizen too. And so it's come easy in that sense because they sign players that are that way. So dating back, you know, way back to Derek Holland and prior to that, you know, to Pudge, but then with Ian Kinsler and Michael Young and Adrian, it kind of, they set the standard where now it's just kind of expected of players. We're really lucky in the sense, traditionally, like the best guys on the team aren't, or the most veteran guys on the team aren't the ones that are getting their feet dirty and out there in the community. But really with Corey and Marcus, that's kind of who they are. Corey and Maddie and Marcus and Tara are very invested, and it's not just writing a check. Like, we host a shopping spree at Academy at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and Corey and Maddie are there at 7:30 with their teammates and helping find kids from Arlington ISD who don't have homes, clothes, and bikes and sporting
and
goods.
And it's so funny to see, especially Corey, because yeah. he's so, you know, business, he's so baseball, but when he gets around in situations like that, he turns into a completely different guy. I mean, not like he's terrible otherwise, but he's just so focused yeah. on baseball. And then you see him get around these kids and he like lights up and, you know, loves to talk to them and hear about their stories. And obviously Maddie's great too. And then Marcus and Tara, their commitment to like the food and healthy, you know, eating and all that kind of stuff and the food distribution. I know they're super passionate about it, but it is fun to see them in those roles away from the field and how they light up. And
yeah,
you know, it's really fun.
Sounds like a dream for someone in your role, right? Like
it
to have those players be so into it.
Have them set that standard. And I think the cool thing that both of them do, both their families do, is at the food distribution or at the shopping spree or at Corey's hitting clinics, they make sure to bring the younger players along. So, you know, they'll invite Wyatt Langford or they'll invite Josh Young or they'll invite someone who maybe doesn't have the opportunity right now to give in a significant way, but to teach them like, hey, this is the way, this is how easy it is to give back and be involved. And so it is cool to see that leadership role. And now a lot of those younger kids are kind of taking on, okay, this is what my passion point is, or this yeah. is what I want to do. So
that's great.
That leadership really helps.
And y'all helping them find, like you said, like what is impactful to them, like what their mission. And you kind of help bring that to life, which is huge for them, right? Because then they don't have to do all the organizing and stuff, but like, this is where we want to help and this is what we want to do.
Right. I think it's so much easier to give if you care about it. And since the foundation is blessed to have an endowment that offsets a lot of our operating expenses so that when people give, literally like 99.5% of every dollar goes back into the community. So when these players are giving to us, we feel like it can be really transparent that, hey, we'll help you find that charity, but we'll help you vet it so that you're not having to do, yet, like you said, like do all the nitty gritty of mm-hmm. figuring out. And then we work alongside the legendary Tawny and her group and make sure that, you know, this is what the players and their wives want to do. Because they do come in, you know, John Gray and his wife are so committed to veterans causes. And so making sure that we're finding the right groups for them to partner with and, you know, being that vehicle for them so they get to, you know, to give and be involved in it, but not having to, you know, get the tickets and plan the event.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I want to talk to you about, you know, we've talked so many times over the years about how this being in baseball as a mom is effing hard a lot of times. For me, I'm dialing back, and so I'm kind of starting to transition away. But you've had this, you know, rigorous schedule, and you know, basically taking this foundation to a new level, all while raising children. How have you managed that? You know, that work-life balance, as much as I hate that term.
And tell us about the kids too. How many and ages?
So I have four. Well, I have two stepsons. One's 32 as of yesterday, and 30. They're both married, have incredible wives. They both live here locally, so it's awesome. So we get to be around them all the time. And then I have a senior and a seventh grader. So really, the senior and seventh grader have grown up at the stadium. Yeah. I mean, I think just like your kids, that's all they've ever known. My dad's a football coach, so he always told me that, you know, if you don't make work work, if you make it part of your family, then it doesn't become something that your kids hate. So like if you, like you do, like if you bring your kids to the stadium, if it's not something that they're like, oh, mom's gone again. And so when they were younger, that was easier. But when they started having activities, it got a little harder.
Which I always thought I was going to be completely the opposite. I'm like, oh, it'll be so much easier as they get older. It's the complete opposite.
It's the worst. And there's definitely been times where I've, you know, missed things that I've hated. But I think as they've gotten older, and as, you know, I brought on some really incredible people on our team that I trust immensely, and had a number of mentors that said, like, hey, you've got to delegate, like, get out of the weeds. Like, they need to grow too. And if you keep, like, you know, micromanaging, they're not growing. And so I kind of became really possessive. Like, this year was my son's senior year of football. And I said, listen, like, Fridays, don't schedule me for anything. I'm not there. I will not miss a game. You know, and I think kind of taking that ownership has helped me feel a little bit better about it. Do I still miss things? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember like driving, and I still probably do it, where like I'm going to a game for my kid, like I'm driving to work and like changing as I'm driving to DFW airport. I'm like, I'm not sure this is safe or legal, whatever, but you do what you do.
Yep.
And I think my husband's an incredible supporter, and I was blessed that my parents retired down here. So having my parents not only be Rangers fans, but also be like my fan and my kids' fans, and I felt like, okay, well, you're with grandma, it's not so bad.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's something about that helps.
It is. Yeah. For
like
sure.
You're getting quality time in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have these memories for life. I'm sorry I haven't seen you for 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Exactly. Okay. So we were just talking before we started taping about going on a senior trip to Seaside, Florida, which is Henry's there right now. But I'm curious to know, I mean, because this stuff is coming, and it's going to come faster than
it's a big topic
realize.
For and, moms, the chaperoning.
Yes, the chaperoning.
Do you do it? Do you not do
trips.
It? The senior trip.
Which we didn't, I mean, we didn't, I didn't go to a senior trip. Like, what? I missed out.
So we did.
I know. I was like, I think we went to the, like a park, or like we did like a overnight at a friend's house. There was no Cancun.
No.
We did Cancun, but my mom did not go. There were the
you
moms
did Cancun?
That went. Oh yeah, we did Cancun, and I begged and pleaded, you know, everyone's going, I have to go, you know, because now that I'm a mom, I can reflect back and think like, gosh, I bet my mom did not want to A, spend the money, B, send me on that trip, not knowing what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But she also knew that that's what my friends were all doing. It's
right.
Hard.
Yeah.
It's the reason I just let my 9-year-old son start playing Fortnite. Like,
yeah.
I didn't want to do that, but all his friends were doing that, and he was left out. So it's hard. But yeah, by senior year, that's what the kids are doing. And as a mom, you either embrace it and go, or, you know, sit back and hope for the best, and you decided to go. And we have to talk about that a little bit.
So he played high school baseball and travel baseball and all those things until this year, because he chose football instead, which is really weird for someone who works in baseball to say. He had missed all the spring breaks. He had missed a lot of the summer trips because of that, and made those sacrifices. And so when he said, hey, I'm moving in for football June 1st, which was the week of the senior trip we had planned. And so he's like, we're going to go to Seaside, and we don't have any parents to chaperone. And I might have told him yes before talking to my husband, which in retrospect, I probably should have asked him first. It was a long week, but I think our first flight was canceled. We took a Sprinter van for 2.5-hour drive to get to Seaside.
Okay, how many boys? Dear.
It was 11 in our house.
My God.
You know, I also looked at it as like, these are kids that I've known since they were in diapers.
Yeah.
And they're going to go to college, and it won't ever be like that again. Like, they'll
be dispersed.
Yeah. So
that
was, well, they're not, when they get to college, they're not going to be asking you to chaperone their trips anymore. Like, this is like a one and done thing.
How many moms?
It was myself and my husband and my 13-year-old
and your husband.
House.
Okay.
And then there was another two moms of girls, another two moms of boys. And then there were another two couples.
Boy girl trip. Okay.
Yeah. 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 It was fun. But I mean, they've known each other since kindergarten.
Right.
So, you know, we were even earlier. So they were good kids. Everyone got home safely. And it was an adventure. I've never gone to the grocery store that much. I'm fairly certain she and I were on the first name basis, everyone that worked in the grocery store. But But it was a good experience, and I would never normally have taken a trip before opening day this way. But again, that kind of possessiveness, I was like, listen, this is my one shot until my seventh grader's there, and who knows if they'll want to take mom. So we're going to go with it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So what did the 13-year-old learn a bunch of stuff from 11 senior boys?
He had some friends down there, thank God, so he could have some breaks. But I think after a while, he's like, I said, some of the stuff doesn't go back to middle school. Like,
yeah.
Right.
I know. That's because that's what everyone always talks about is like the it's always the kids with the older siblings that are a little more advanced in their knowledge of things and stuff like that. Like I see it with Hattie even.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like just the stuff that, I mean, and she's the one that I have to worry about. Henry's pretty straight and narrow. She, on the other hand, is going to be something to deal with. But
And it is, I think, their five-year gap. We waited because I'm a weird OCD planner, and we waited because the Rangers were in flux and I wanted to have a kid in the offseason and whatever. But they're being 5 years apart, I don't think they always like really appreciated each other. And I think now that he was in seventh grade and, you know, Jackson was like starting and like on football and all the Friday night lights and stuff, he really enjoyed the fact that he knew all the seniors in the crowd and he knew all the kids on the team. And I think they were so kind to him that I think this was kind of his way of also like getting to hang out with these guys one last time kind of thing. Because they're like big brothers to him. They pick on him that same way and whatever. But I think he enjoyed it. And I think he'll miss that. He probably won't ever admit that, but he will.
Yeah, for sure.
What an experience.
Are you going to chaperone?
I'll probably end up doing it. I don't know.
Totally.
The way
I'm all in.
I
am all in on chaperoning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel like the way our little world is, and it's probably similar to yours, there's probably my parents fighting to chaperone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like everybody wants to be in the middle of everything, at least right now when they're little. But I don't know, because some of the stuff they start doing when they're older really does scare me. Like, scare me.
And the cool thing is then, like, you don't have to worry about it. Like, if you're chaperoning, you're not watching, like, 360 and seeing where they're where they're at.
You just make sure they're
there and, like, safe. Make sure they're home.
Yeah.
So, you know, I felt like I probably had it easier than the moms that weren't there.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, question for you. So my sister has, both her kids are in college. And I remember when Jordan, she's a senior now at Tech, about to graduate. And I remember when Jordan first went to college, my sister would watch her all the time. And then finally she was like, she had to stop. Like, she's like, I've got to stop because she's, I mean, there's shit I can do. Like, I just got to stop because it's driving me crazy. How are you going to manage that?
That's such a good question. I don't know the answer to that yet.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably going to have to turn it off because even now, like, it'll be like, he's a really good kid. I mean, he's a really good kid and comes home at the right time and whatever, but I'll be like watching his little.
How it moves. Yeah.
He's in a duck costume for me. He's like 2 years old. I'm like, where's that duck going?
Yeah.
Moving towards home. And my husband will look at me, put the phone down.
Yeah.
Put the phone down.
Oh,
you know,
my
he's going to make it. Like, so I think I'll probably, you know, he'll be playing football most of the time. So I feel like I can, you know, just put it away.
Yeah.
And let him have that freedom. I'm going to try to give it a go the last semester, this last like 9 weeks of school. And
yeah.
See if I can
see how it goes.
Sane.
I know. Well, like, I'm already pissed off at Henry because like I've called him and he doesn't answer. And I'm like, okay, listen, if I call, you need to fucking answer the phone.
Yeah.
But you know, it's, I mean, he's like,
does he call you back? Fine. Like,
no, he hasn't. I mean, not yet.
Okay. We're in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I called him
does
this morning.
Does he text or just
he
call?
Does, but okay. Like, no, both. But I sent a text to him.
Maybe
this morning.
He's
I'm like,
swimming in the ocean.
Yeah. Maybe he is swimming in the ocean. But anyway, yeah, it's the whole control issues are definitely coming into play.
About to get real tough because the kids get more freedom.
Yeah. Exactly.
Can't control where they're at.
I know.
And no one tracked us. I mean,
right.
No shit. Yes.
They know where we were.
No
phones. No phones. No nothing. I mean, I remember in the summer we would leave the house like at 10 in the morning and be like, see it 5 or 7 before the sun goes down. Or
exactly.
I know. So it's good. I mean, it's we need to relinquish some of our control as moms.
Yeah,
for sure. And I don't even feel like I'm a helicopter mom. I just have control issues.
Right.
Yeah.
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 That's another episode.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. Okay, let's talk about the big Tech Gala coming up. Give us all the deets.
So our biggest foundation fundraiser is this year. It's Thursday, April 3rd, which is a little earlier than normal. But we switched in 2020 away from, we used to do a triple play event where players were part of the game shows. And it really ran, it was great, but it ran its course.
It did. It was fun.
Yeah.
But it was... Yeah.
And we kind of asked the players were like, listen, like with social media, like anytime I make a mistake, it's on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Happens.
Like, it's true.
You know, I don't really like this. I don't want to. So we tried to come up with a format that was really good for both our fans and our donors, but also for our players. And then also kind of transitioned away from it being just about the players and be really about what we do as a foundation and our cause and kind of build it out bigger where it wasn't just if you're a Rangers fan, you come. It's, hey, if you're a fan of what the Rangers Foundation does,
that makes
hope
sense.
Come out. Yeah. And so we have a event on the field. It's called the Tex Gala, presented by Choctaw Casinos and Resorts. And it's a fun event. There's a silent live auction. There's great cocktails and food. And then this year, our performer is Thomas Rhett. So the evening will end with a performance from Thomas Rhett. And he's great. I'm excited. I'm excited. I found out, fun fact, it was Corey and Maddie Seeger's first country concert that they went to together.
Oh, perfect.
So, that's cool.
You know, nailed it with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, every year we try to figure out the right artist, you know, for our demo and for our donors. And I think he'll be really, really fun.
Yeah.
We've got some really cool items on the auction that are, you know, exclusive like Rangers opportunities. But the players do come, they and their wives are there at the event, and, you know, they're mingling, you know, you have to figure out who they are and take their pictures and stuff, but they're great and accessible. And it's a really fun event. And we do raise, I think last year we raised about $2.5 million that went back into the community, which,
wow,
as you alluded to, helped us with all of our legacy all-star projects last year.
Yep.
This year we'll be announcing some new programs that we're going to fund with our gala. So we really try to find a way to use those funds, you know, right away, distribute them right into the community and give them back, because ultimately that's what the event's for. It's to tell our story, but also to raise money to help our community where we
can. That sounds like a good balance.
One funny story on the, when we still had Triple Play, and it was a $25,000 pyramid. And I want to say it was Mike Napoli and Michael Young. And one of the clues, they were trying to guess Ron Washington. And I think it was Michael that was like started spitting off stuff, and he was like, "Burns heaters," like, because Washington used to burn heaters on the, like the reg, and everyone just died laughing. But yeah, it was fun. But this is also really cool because, you know, you get to see it's like you're going to a concert,
right?
You know what I mean?
Play like an hour set, and it's fun. They get into it, and it's like full access. Like run up to the stage if you want to, dance if you want to, like have a good time.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you get to, and it's a smallish. I mean, it's not like going to a packed arena where you feel so far away. I mean, it's pretty intimate.
Yeah,
the setting.
We try to cap it at like 1,500 people, just for that reason. I think this year it'll be somewhere between 1,300 and 1,500 people, but on the field that feels like a speck of people, you know, but it is cool. You're on the field and you get that setting. But you're right. We kind of try to keep it as where you still felt like, okay, I could walk around. I can see the concert. I'm not, you know, having to wait in line forever to get a drink and have it be that intimate affair, and also really make it special for the people that are in attendance. Like, hey, we appreciate you for coming out and for sponsoring the foundation.
That's great. So if any of our listeners want to go or want to support, where can they go to get tickets to be involved
go to
with anything that you guys do?
Yeah, rangers.com/TexGala for that event, and then rangers.com/foundation for anything else. Or they can, you know, visit us at our foundation booth at the at Globe Life Field. It's right off of home plate, kind of behind the new Era Cap Shop and where Chuck Morgan's area is.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always there and always have information to share too.
Great.
Karen, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yes. That was wonderful.
We have the control comments, control thing. I'll come back. I need help too.
Yeah, okay. You'll have a lot in common there.
We'll workshop that. Okay. As we end every episode, look into your camera. Yours is right here. I'll look into mine. You throw up the double peace signs and say, "Mom, game out." On the count of three, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Mom game out.